Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. We are presented by Progressive Insurance.
Sheesh. What's happening?
Tell us, Key, you're in Houston, part of the spring tour.
You sweating yet,
No
Key?
AC in the building?
You know, it cooled down a little bit because Pat had some brown paper bags and he was fanning me with earlier and it cooled down. But as soon as he took the brown paper bags away, I started sweating again. So it's one of those situations. Oh, matter of fact, how much time have you spent in Texas, Max?
A bunch.
Yep. You like Papados?
Wait, what's Papados? Hold on.
Papados. It's an Cajun restaurant.
I don't think I've been to Papados.
Jay? Yeah, I'm sure you have Papados.
Yeah, I lived in Houston for a short stint with John Lucas when I was working out.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
with John Lucas. You know, I had to get that Papados in last
night.
Ooh, wee. I was like, baby.
What you doing today? What's the plan for today, man? Yeah, I know they put together a little tour schedule for you.
Well, I'm certainly going to be touring and working and doing other shows. And we have the St. Arnold's Brewery, if I said that correctly.
I love hearing you say brewery.
I know.
He says it like he's very cold.
Brewery.
You related to Gucci?
Brewery. Am I saying it wrong? St. Arnold's Brewery. So I have brewery. From 5 to, well, it's actually from 12 to 9. I won't be there from 12 to 9, but I'll probably stop in around 5, 5:30, have a couple drinks with some of the sponsors and some of the people, you know, some of the people that listen to our show. So I'm going to do that, hang out a little bit. And that's pretty much it.
You got the pizza named after you, too, right?
Houston's a good fight town, man. I like Houston.
No, Houston is fine. It's just hot as hell, man. Yeah, like, come on. Like, it's so hot you don't want to eat. And people was outside eating on patios. I'm like, no, this ain't for me. So I was trying to find AC. As you can see, Pat's fanning me again.
This is
very
incredible.
Smart. But no, it's all good. Nobody criticized me about criticizing the Houston Astros for cheating scandals or anything like that.
Because they tucked you away in an undisclosed location like a hostage over here. Where are you?
Yeah, I had to give them the business, though, because the Astros certainly took one from my L.A. Dodgers, you know.
My Yankees, too.
Yeah, the Yankees, too, but it's more memorable because of the Dodgers, you know, because they played in the final. They played in the World Series together, and I was at game seven, and originally I blamed it on you, Darvish. So I had to apologize to you about 2 years ago when I learned that the Astros stole it from us and he wasn't the reason. So you know how it is. You feel bad because you went at him.
Yeah, man.
And his family, you know, he got kids.
Hey, Key, there was something like that with Clayton Kershaw too early on. I want to say it was with the Cardinals, where it's like they looked like they knew what was coming and everyone was killing Kershaw at first. And then there was some link between the Cardinals and Astros that I've already forgotten because this is, 10 years ago. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance.
The connection between the Cardinals and the Astros was that one of the teams, I believe it was the Cardinals, hacked the Astros scouting system.
Right.
Because the Astros GM at the time, Jeff Luhnow, had come over from the Cardinals and they knew all his passwords, so they hacked his scouting system, which had a really cool name that I can't think of in the moment.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden they knew exactly what was coming from Clayton Kershaw, as I recall. But anyway, we're presented by Progressive Insurance, coming to you live. Jay and I are from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17, and Key from an undisclosed location without air conditioning in Houston at the moment. All right, guys. Jeannie Buss had something to say. And I want to talk to you about it because, Key, I remember, I've always called her a chip off the old block, right? Mm-hmm. And her father, though, Dr. Jerry Buss and that Dwight Nash, super team, they were supposed to do so good and they were flailing. And he shows up at practice one day. And I asked him about it. I said, Dr. Buss, why you show up at practice? Because I'm assuming, used to Steinbrenner, Key. Hey, we're going to get everyone, make sure everything, I'm losing patience. And Dr. Buss said, I wanted to make sure everyone had everything they needed. I want to make their job as easy as possible to succeed. So I'm not used to this kind of talk from Jeannie. Listen to Jeannie. This is a quote. I'm growing impatient just because we had the fourth highest payroll in the league. When you spend that kind of money on the luxury tax, you expect to go deep into the playoffs. She told this to the Los Angeles Times. Bill Plaschke of the LA Times. She admitted she's not happy. She's not satisfied with the current state of the team. Quote, So, yeah, it was gut-wrenching for me to go out on a limb like that and not get the results that we were looking for. So why would she say this as an owner? Like, here's the thing. Key, they just won a championship. Jeannie just, once she took the handcuffs off, right, and was like, okay, to her late great father, basically like, hey, Dad, I tried it this way, but the Lakers aren't winning. Jeannie's always talked about the Lakers as a public trust and how the Buss family are the stewards of that public trust, right? And they don't see it like, we own the team and forget you. It's like, no, man, this is an institution that's important to L.A., and we got to handle it right. So it's a family business. They're not some faceless corporation. This is how they make their money. And she spent a lot of money on the luxury tax and has not gotten the results. But, Key, why is she going that hard talking about she's running out of patience? They won the title the year before last. What do you think she's going on here?
Well, as – I don't know when this was, Max, but if you remember, I kept saying that she wants control of everything based on the way that the situation ended and the way everybody views the clutch situation. She wants to let people know that she's running out of patience, but also she's the owner and she's in control now. She allowed Rich Paul, LeBron James, Anthony Davis to try and win another championship and going out and getting the pieces that they felt they were capable of getting and that could help them win a championship, and it failed, but she ultimately signed off on it, no more. And I think that at the end, that is what she is ultimately saying is, I'm in control, I'm going to do it the way I want to do it and not the way that I allowed it to happen in the past. It worked out for us one time, but clearly it didn't work out a second time around. And I'm taking control back.
I love this by Jeannie Buss. You know what? Because she needs to do it her way.
Yes.
And if you read through the interview that she did, it was really incredible because now she's listening to Magic Johnson. She's bringing him back in. She's bringing back in Phil Jackson for his input. She kind of defended Kurt Rambis and Linda Rambis to a degree, but emphasized that Linda is not making any basketball decisions. She expressed her loyalty to LeBron James and her desire for him to be a championship person and be happy here at the organization long term. And here's what she said in an interview that really blew my mind. Do they have final say? No. Are they running the team? No, not at all, said Buss. I'm the controlling owner of the Los Angeles Lakers. I'm held accountable for every decision that's made here. I just love her being accountable and saying, no more excuses with everybody else. This is on me. So watch me go to work.
Yeah, Jeannie's that dude.
That's a big, you know, that's no a doubt. Boss now, statement.
No doubt. She's a boss.
Well, now she's taking control. Back,
yes.
Right?
Now you're that's what I'm talking about.
Now I'm taking full responsibility in this situation. I signed off on it. Like I said before, she was the person who signed off on it. It went a certain way the first time. The second time around to chase the championship, it didn't go that way because she allowed people to convince her that this makes the most sense. And then once she takes a step back and she looks at it with the input of Magic, the input of Kurt and Phil and whoever else is in her circle, now she can fully look at things from up and not just at a lower level and say to herself, okay, I'm looking down on my team and my organization now. I see everything that's going on. I'm in full control now. This is what I want to do. No matter what they try and tell me, they can either roll with me or go somewhere else.
Well, the last time Jeannie Buss did that, they won a championship within 2 years. That's what happened. Like when her dad bought the team, that year they won the championship. That year they won the championship. When Jeannie, the last time she did this, she said, look, I know my dad wanted my brother to run basketball. I gave it probably, in my opinion, I think she gave him probably a year or two longer than she ought, but she was being a good family member. I got to take matters into my own hands. Within 2 years, she won the championship. So sometimes maybe when Jeannie talks like this, Lakers fans should get excited.
No question. And I ultimately think, though, Jay, as crazy as it may sound, as hard as it may be able to believe, I think that in the end, whether it's with Clutch or LeBron or whoever it is, there's an ultimatum that's going to be put down. And it's going to be either you got to do it the way we want to do it or you can go do it somewhere else.
Well, I think it also sets a precedent for other owners that you can't just be this owner that lays in the background and lets all this stuff happen. You have to be involved.
So what's this mean for the future of LeBron James? That's next on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Oh, you see that? See that right there? What you just saw on TV? They're building a special basketball court.
They better. They better
Alan
sure that
Hahn.
He doesn't come down.
Co-host of Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. You talked yourself into it, Alan.
I didn't talk anything. I was not the one doing the talking. We're here.
Do you remember? So you're from this area, yeah. And you're a little bit older than me. You remember the Decepticons, yes, when we were kids? A little crew of kids up to no good. Uh-huh. It's like your boy picked a fight with the Decepticons or something, and now they're coming for you after school, and you got to show up with your boy.
Like, we're what? Oh. honestly, this started with you know, we're just having fun one day. Bart's just doing what Bart does, and I'm laughing about it. Then you guys got all, you know, a certain way about it. You got in your feelings, and I laughed about it. Like, yeah, this is great, a little back and forth. Then we have a meeting, and it's like, yeah, we're going to play this game. What?
Wait, so Bart's finally learning that there are consequences to what he says on his show? Shocking.
I don't think he's concerned at all.
Well, not only, well, first of all,
he's got to pay. All right?
So now you're realizing there are consequences once again to what Bart says on your show.
There still aren't really consequences. If you heard me on the show yesterday, standing in the corner with just that conversation with no socks, it led to
the blacklight conversation
yesterday. Still no consequences for Bart.
He would have been so disgusted with that conversation.
Here's the other thing about it.
Now I want to know what the conversation was all about.
You know you don't. Yeah. You really
don't. I really want to know.
Not
Jay?
In the morning. Yes. That's an afternoon show kind of conversation.
Okay.
Now, by the way, here's the other thing is, like, Bart somehow, and when we talk about it, it's always matched up with Key. So Bart talks you into it, and now Alan's got to play the former two-time player of the year, right?
I'm telling you, that's not the matchup.
I don't know. It sounds like it is.
No, it's not. That's not how it's going to go, at least not defensively. I mean, if Jay wants to guard me, he can guard. It's fine. I mean, but
they're putting Bart on me.
Bart's job is to lock down
sweep
Jay.
The leg.
Sweep that's
the
his
leg.
Job.
I mean, he said it. He said it, sweep the leg.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
So that's why I was working with the two kids on the video that they play on the SportsCenter clip on what happens if they try to sweep the leg so I can learn how to navigate around it.
Gotcha.
Well, I was a little offended that you're working out against kids, by the way.
Well, that's who Bart is.
So great about all of this.
Oh, wait, here are the jerseys, Key. Look on TV. Here are the Bart and Hahn jerseys.
I better get out in the sun.
57.
I'm definitely.
See,
Key, you're a,
look at those KJM. Look like the Lakers. KJM.
That's a highlighter.
Wait, go back to Bart's jersey.
Yeah, look at, wait,
why
hold
they
on,
go
Alan.
Bart and
wait,
on Bart's
Alan,
jersey?
Look at Bart's jersey. Can we go back to the other jerseys?
Where's the purple jersey? They go Bart and on the back.
Yeah, look, Bart and the and sign.
Well, that's the ampersand. That's part of our name, Bart and the ampersand, Hahn. I thought it would look weird if it was and Hahn.
You guys want to relax
Key,
in the Lake of Minnetonka?
Key, you're big on jersey numbers and what they represent. And I need to know, when you see a 57 built like Bart come in to check into the game, what does that represent?
I'm probably going to look at who's all on the floor, Then once I realize who's on the floor, I'm going to say they're getting ready to use up some fouls. That's what they're getting ready to do. They're getting ready to use up some fouls and get him in foul trouble and then get him back out. They just need to slow the game down. That's what I'm looking at, 57. I'm like, this dude can't play dead in a cowboy movie.
You see,
no one wears 57.
Key, when you see 57 as a hooper playing a lot of games back in the day,
yes.
When you see 57 take off his warm-ups and is about to check into the game, in my mind, I'm like, oh, damn. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, damn.
He don't play hoops.
Nope. At all.
He's not even walking or running like a hooper.
No.
He's running with his shoulders and his elbows flared out to the side. He's coming in to hurt somebody.
You see, you as a guard would see it as, I got to get around this guy. I was 6'5 in high school, right? I was skinny. And that guy would come in, and my coach is like, you got him. I'm like, damn. Come on.
Black and blue marks all over you.
Yeah.
You could, for me, if I see 57, or even not 57, Bart in general, though, I'm afraid for my face. Not anything else except my face. Yeah. That's all I'm afraid of, because he's out of control. He has no control of his body. He walks like a duck. He has duck feet. He's flat-footed. And so I'm just afraid of the whole aggressive. I have to tell Bart all the time, Bart, you don't play football anymore, man. You talk aggressive. Even when we have conversations on our shows, it's like, oh, my God.
Key, though, this is where I'm going to talk to you as my teammate, and I'm going to tell you right now that since Alan Hahn has came on our show, and he's given us insight into their scouting report.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you that I need you to start working your offensive game, because if Bart is trying to sweep the leg, I want to come out of the game a healthy person. I might need you offensively against Hahn to put in some work. So I just want to make sure that you're ready for this.
I'll be fine, Jay. Just trust me. Don't
okay.
Don't worry about what Bart and Hahn are talking about in terms of basketball. When you see me play, you'll be like, oh, okay, I'm cool, I'm good. Okay. I'm not. If you know me, I'm not going to sell you on my ability as an athlete to play basketball for 15 points over a 30-minute. If it takes us 30 minutes, to be honest with you.
All right, okay. Alan.
Alan Hahn has his face on right now.
it's all good. I'm looking forward to it.
Alan,
what is there to add to that? You know.
Let's move it along.
Even your athletic ability, Key.
Let's move it along and talk about some real basketball.
I love it. I love this.
Alan, I'm sure you're aware of Jeannie Buss's comments. She made it to the LA Times, Bill Plaschke.
Mm-hmm.
She is running out of patience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, listen, the Buss family, this is their business, right? This
basketball
is not some
royalty.
Nameless corporation with billions and billions of dollars. When she pays a big luxury tax, she expects results. Yep. On the other hand, they won the title 2 years ago, right? Running out of patience? So where are you with all this? What do you think this means for the future, let's start, of LeBron James?
Well, she said she showed loyalty to LeBron, and that says a lot, because the feeling is if you really want to reset there and get things back on track, you might use him as your trade chip and get some pieces and tell Anthony Davis, stop being a diva, get yourself in shape, and this is your team now. Because he's at that age where it's time for him to be the man. And that maybe you could do that. But it doesn't sound like that's going to happen. I feel for her in this article, because as I read it, you can see that she's conflicted. She's trying to say, I'm the main voice and I'm the leader and I'm, you know, the responsibility that her dad gave her to run that franchise. But yet she named about 8 people that she takes influence from. And, I mean, it includes Phil Jackson. It includes Magic Johnson. Now, it includes a lot of people. And you're wondering, are these warring factions all trying to influence her and get what they want? If there's just too many voices, too many cooks in the kitchen.
You know, her dad was the same way, though. Like, the Lakers.
Yeah, Jerry West.
He had Jerry West, but the Lakers were always, even with Dr. Buss, it felt like organized chaos.
Yeah, yeah. But, and they had great players. That certainly helped there as well.
For sure.
But I do think having Jerry West was important. I don't think she's got a Jerry West.
Yeah, who does?
But there is, like in any business, though, you have a board, right? So you have people that kind of are trusted advisors to a degree that you sit.
Yeah.
So it's not uncommon to have a board of individuals that you kind of bounce ideas off of and see how they resonate within that ecosystem.
You do, but you know how the power struggle works in basketball. It's a lot different than a board, you know, where you're the CEO. It's what LeBron and Clutch want. And she said they don't make basketball decisions, but she didn't deny that there's an influence there. She, you know, like, that's what I mean. Like, she just, I almost offered too much. And Rob Pelinka has the job, and sometimes he's probably like, what am I doing here if I don't have influence? So he wants to do certain things. Maybe he's against making that move. He has to make a move. Then there's Phil. This is how you're supposed to do it. Magic, as we know, cares everything about that franchise, so he's going to have passion. There's just a lot of voices. And then, of course, the Rambai, whether it's Linda.
And the Rambai.
Well, it's plural, right? Yes, plural. Rambis, yes, plural, that is, yeah. Should be Rambai. So it's you have that. And, you know, you don't know. And Kurt, obviously, is a lot like Phil. So there's that influence. So I just think you have warring factions. I don't think you have unity, and I think she's caught in the middle of it. You can read it in those quotes.
It might be better if there was a Rambis. If there was just one Rambis, maybe it would be more containable.
If we could just whittle it down to one.
But the Rambai, because one has Jeannie's ear and the other has the other Rambai's ear. Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. How about let's go to the playoffs from last night, actually, on the court action, because there are teams playing in the playoffs, and it doesn't include the Lakers, even though 20 out of 30 teams get into the play-in. Jay, you were talking about Chris Paul and Devin Booker earlier in the show. Care to let Alan in on that?
Well, just about, oh, yeah. So my whole thing that I said before, Alan, was that, you know, a lot of people are saying, oh, there's a lot of legacy on the line for CP3, which there is. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But I just want to make sure that we clarify the point. I'm not asking CP3 at 37 years old to be the best player on the floor each and every night. He can have a substantial part of a team, and he can
fourth
give you
quarter,
nights
like
where
he
can be that guy. Yes, fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. But in order for them to win a championship, Devin Booker needs to be who he was last night and needs to be the best player on the floor.
Yep.
And people forget last year there were some people, not me, that were willing to put him in the same breath to a degree with Kobe Bryant, saying he was Kobe Bryant-like with his ability to take over games down the stretch. And that is how I see Phoenix having a legit shot to win a world championship.
I completely agree. And Devin Booker had a great third quarter. You can see he kind of stepped up and, you know, and gave you what you're talking about, that kind of closer mentality of this is too close a game. Let's blow this thing open. And then they did. And the Mavs were just a mess. They're a bad road team. You can just see it. That's a typical team that has one star and a lot of role players that just play well at home. But I will say, though, for Chris Paul, he's your closer in the fourth quarter, and he's proved that. And that's all you need him for. You don't need him to be 48 minutes. You just need him for the last 12, but you got to get there, and that's what Devin Booker's supposed to do. But this is Chris Paul's last shot.
Oh,
legit, this is it right here.
We see that every year, it feels
like. Well, but this you know, because look at the West. This is it. This is going to be his last shot, a legitimate shot at a title.
We do see it every year, Alex.
We do.
This is his last shot. This is look at the West.
Well, when did he have a real shot until last year? We didn't really feel like
no, he had a real
shot.
Yeah,
Clippers. Houston, he had a real shot.
Houston, yeah. By the way, he got hurt.
The Clippers, he was still young then.
Yeah.
Okay, but Houston, Key, they were in Game 7 against the KD Warriors.
He had a real shot there. What I would say is I enjoy when people say this is a legacy game for Chris Paul and all this sort of stuff. You are right, Jay. We don't want him scoring 30 points a night to win it. We don't want him being the best guy on the floor, but we want him contributing like he did last night. He only gave you 7 points. But if you add the 10 assists, what's that? That's 20-plus points, because some of those I'm sure was threes or whatever the case may be. That's 20-plus points that he is contributing along with the defensive side of the ball that he played last night. So when you look at it, there's something about the veteran leadership that I think get discounted in situations with guys like Chris Paul, because the first thing you start looking at is the box scores. The box scores does not tell you the entire story or the body of work that an individual is putting in a single game. So I'm happy with the way he played last night. I'll take it to the bank. They ran Dallas out of there. Mm-hmm. That's all you really care about.
Mm-hmm. And it does, by the way, you can be a closer by scoring and setting up teammates, right? Like Chris Paul's genius is he seems to have a perfect read on the pulse of the game.
But also he's imprinted his DNA on the team. Last night, I'm sitting up there going in and out of the game late, and I watched Devin Booker drive, and he lays on the floor because he just got fouled. And I don't know, like he, in a way, the camera's focused on him. I don't know if you guys saw this. And he looks up at the camera, kind of like a wink, like, oh, I'm joking, I'm staying on the ground.
Oh, yeah, 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 I saw it.
And then he makes the Luka slight. He makes the Luka slight. So there is a lot of that type of DNA. That's so CP3, Devin Booker to me. Mm-hmm. And I think that they need that kind of toughness, that meanness to win.
I saw it last night, Jay. And I was like, man, stop faking to get the foul call.
They're just imitating what Luka does every possession, my
man. Listen. Coming up, Alan, you're hanging out, right?
Am I?
Do we have Alan hanging out?
You don't want to go get up no shots, man?
Well, I just roped you into it, unless you have to.
Look, he's out here looking lean, man.
That's all good.
I got some time. I got to go cross the hall in a minute. Yeah, but I got time.
Perfect. Because
you going to show a hostage video?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. There is a potential three-way trade situation I want to propose and want to explore involving the three biggest markets in the country. New York, Chicago, L.A.
Don't do this.
Maybe Zach LaVine is in play if you're willing to give a max. I'm sure he would take a four-year max to get him out of there. And he's unrestricted.
If I'm the Bulls, I say, cool, Zach, let's work out a sign and trade. $213 million for Zach LaVine? All the people who are clinging to this argument that Zach LaVine is this unbelievably transcendent player, they say, oh, two-time All-Star. He made the Olympic team. He won a gold medal. What has Zach LaVine ever done on a winning team?
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. We are presented by Progressive Insurance and have roped Alan Hahn into hanging out for a little while longer. He's giving you the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Alan.
Rope me in with this soundtrack.
Yeah, Yates in his bag most days.
Always good on the ones and twos.
I know what you like, man.
Yes, you do.
I know what you like. Pause.
Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA insider on the Hoop Collective podcast. Alan, listen to what Windy had to say about Zach LaVine's future.
Subsequently, as I've talked to league executives, there's now some belief, and maybe only Zach knows, but there's now some belief that Zach could be in play. That, you know, that what a lot of people thought was a foregone conclusion of Zach staying in Chicago on whatever deal it was going to be may not be the case. So as you look at options for this summer, maybe Zach LaVine is in play if you're willing to give a max. I'm sure he would take a four-year max to get him out of there. And he's unrestricted.
All right, so Alan Hahn, I know you were here. You may not like this, but let's pose a scenario. I found myself thinking about last night because these rumors about Zach LaVine and the Lakers. If he wanted to force a sign and trade and he wanted to go to L.A. Mm-hmm. So Chicago, let's put this hypothetical situation. Chicago had no choice but to send him to L.A. to make something work, right? So almost in a way, Chicago loses all leverage that they could have had if he were a restricted free agent, because he's unrestricted.
Yep.
That puts him in a bind.
Right.
So I propose this. It's out there, too. The Lakers get Zach LaVine. Three-way trade with the New York Knicks. So we all know the Knicks, in a way, you're not sure about if you made the right decision with Julius Randle. Is that fair to say for you as a Knicks fan?
Affirmative.
Okay. Do you like Evan Fournier?
He's a nice guy.
All right, nice guy, but not a guy that you want to build around for
the
future.
Don't know if he's a fit.
You want to build around R.J. Barrett.
Yeah,
to a degree.
That's an option.
That's an option. Okay. So getting cap space is important for you guys going into that next free agent summer, correct?
Yeah.
So you want to offload some cap space.
Are you cross-examining the witness?
Yes, I am.
I'm looking at it on the board.
So in return,
I see it.
Right? The Knicks will get Russell Westbrook, 2027 first round, and 2028 first round pick from the Lakers. The Bulls may not like this, but in return, if they're losing Zach LaVine, they get a guy like Julius Randle that potentially they could use as trade asset with Vucevic for another piece if they felt like they were going to get that, and Evan Fournier, which gives him a little bit more depth from the guard position.
So you're very so the Bulls get very front court heavy.
They're still looking to move if they want to move Vucevic. Yeah. They still have pieces, but I'm saying they're looking for something in return.
Gotcha.
To a degree, because their hand is being forced.
And the picks. Now, that's your deal that you have there?
Yes, I'm throwing it up there.
All right, because the picks, the 27 and 28, whose picks are those?
Lakers.
Well, they can't give you, unless they have two picks in the same year, they can't give you back-to-back years draft picks. It's the Stepien rule. You can't give back-to-back.
Come on, Jay.
But you know what, Alan? Even just getting Westbrook.
Because I think the two picks is what, to me, that's
we'll
what's
but the
expiring Russell.
That's
Westbrook.
The thing. It's an expiring deal.
$48 million, right?
Yeah, whatever. 47. Yeah.
Books. Yeah, I don't hate it, but that's not my best option from my perspective if I'm running the Knicks. That's not my best option, but that's an option.
I think it makes sense. If I'm the Lakers, I love it. If I'm the Knicks, I like it. If I'm the Bulls, I don't like it.
But here's the problem. From a Lakers standpoint.
Yeah.
Zach LaVine is now going to be your one.
From the Lakers' LeBron perspective?
LeBron James exited in a couple years, now he is your number one with no picks.
Well, he's
now your, what do you do?
Well, you have LaVine and Anthony Davis. That's your
– Again – that's your one.
Yeah, you'll get another guy, Anthony, Key. It's the Lakers.
I get it, but you always, as a Laker, are looking for the future. Mm-hmm. Somebody that you know, you can move and
pass on. You ain't giving them the keys, yeah.
Yeah, so you got AD, which we thought originally, okay, well, that may be the case, but people have soured on AD in L.A., and now you're picking up Zach LaVine. LeBron's gone in 2-3 years. You got to pass the mantle to Zach LaVine?
Yeah.
Is that what you really want to do?
Yeah, Key makes a great point. And here's what I'll say from it on the different perspectives. Look, selfishly, it's a good deal for the Knicks if that's an option because it does clear up cap space. It's an expiring. It's a guy that, see, if Russ just comes here and goes nuts, whatever. For the Bulls, it's just getting something for nothing because he'd walk anyway, right? So you're getting something for nothing. That's why the Bulls get that. And they could use some three-point shooting in Evan Fournier. They don't have really good three-point shooting. For the Laker perspective, though, Key, you're the Laker guy. Is that a Laker kind of like Zach LaVine, Anthony Davis? Is that Showtime?
But that's what I'm saying.
But, yeah,
but wait, guys, you're rushing past the LeBron part.
Well,
LeBron's
still playing at an MVP level.
I'm not rushing past LeBron. I'm looking to the future.
Hold on, guys. Hold on, wait. You're looking at the future, Key. I'm looking at trying to get a championship in this window with LeBron James.
I understand.
So I like another dynamic guy that can do things off of pick and roll with AD. It gives another option, and he provides shooting on the floor with LeBron James. I think this for –
I love it for 2022, 2023.
Yes!
There's nothing wrong with 2022, 2023. And correct me if I'm wrong, isn't he a clutch client?
He just became a clutch client in September. Yes.
So, yeah, okay. So
follow the money.
There you go.
Guys, if people wanted Buddy Hield on the Lakers, like forget about can you give the keys to Zach LaVine and AD. You cross that bridge when you come to it. LeBron's playing right now. He's still great. If people wanted Buddy Hield, now take Buddy Hield and let him and make him jump out of the gym, right? Zach LaVine can bomb from outside, and he can jump out the gym. You put him as the number three on the Lakers right now? All right. Perfect.
Can I wet blanket that, though? I'll give you the wet blanket. Anthony Davis is tissue paper, right? Like he's a guy that gets hurt all the time. Zach LaVine's got a knee issue that comes up all the time. That's two guys now that you'd have.
And LeBron's 100.
Up a ton. And
but he played through the season. Most of it.
He had to keep taking time off.
Yeah, but he played through it.
No, he plays through it, but it's there. And he's not getting younger.
You like it for the Knicks? It's okay for the Bulls. You don't love it for the Lakers?
Don't love it for the Lakers.
I love it for the Lakers. I like it for the Knicks. I don't like it for the Bulls.
Yeah, but the Bulls would have no choice.
They have no choice.
But you could get a better sign and trade package than Julius Randle and Evan Fournier.
We'll give you 5 of the 7 second round picks we have.
Right. There you go. Throw those in. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Alan is back with us at 10 after 9.
I am.
We're going to continue this conversation then, and we might rope you in. Who knows? Make any plans. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Did I mention that already? Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Key's in Houston. We're going to find out what he thinks of the Texans' playoff chances in Lovie Smith's first year. Plus, what other teams can make playoff runs with a first-year head coach? Next on ESPN Radio Series XM Channel 8.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Real or not real here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, I am playing this game too. So, Evan, take it away. What are we talking, real or not real?
Yeah, real or not real. These are new NFL coaches, not first-time coaches, just new with their current team, will make the playoffs in 2022. So in their first season with their new team, real or not real. Key, let's start. You're in Houston. Lovie Smith and the Texans, real or not real, they'll make the playoffs this season.
Yeah, not real. I don't think that the Houston Texans make the playoffs. Davis Mills is a nice young quarterback that has some promise and some upside, but they don't have anything really on their team. They took Stingley Jr. in the third as a third pick in the first round. They're starting to build on the defensive side of the ball, but no, not real.
Yeah, I will say not real as well. I think that cupboard is pretty empty. But, Key, I would follow that with a quick question to you. Over under 2 years for Lovie Smith as head coach?
Over.
Not real.
Say that
Move
confidently,
it along.
Huh?
Hmm. Not real. I mean, like, does it require explanation?
No. Matt Eberflus, Bears, real or not real? Bears make the playoffs in 2022, Key?
Not real. Again, similar situation to the Houston Texans. Don't really have a whole lot, but I wouldn't be surprised if they're in the mix up into the end just because of the young quarterback. One of these moments, the RG3 type situation where you kind of put a team on your back and you look a certain way as a quarterback where you – ignite people and make them feel a certain way about your future, but I think they run out of steam in the end.
You say Audrey or Aubrey?
I corrected myself before you would correct me, mister.
Mister. Yeah, not real. I think the real conversation, though, is where do we see the continued progress of Justin Fields from the quarterback position? I need to see him slowly work towards being better. I know the weapons aren't around him as much, but you still want to see him go through his progressions and become better.
Chicago, listen up. It's not real, but the Bears have a chance to run this division in the not-too-distant future. There's a real chance here. Ain't going to happen this year, but you can be taking steps in the right direction with a chance to run the division in the not-too-distant future.
Cool. Key, Josh McDaniels, real or not real, goes to the playoffs in his first season as Raiders head coach.
I think it's real. There's no question about it. Here's a guy who gets a second bite at the apple, turned down jobs in the past, but understand that Derek Carr is there. They went out and got Devontae Adams from the Green Bay Packers. You look at Hunter Renfrow. You got Waller. You got Edwards. You got Jacobs in the backfield, although Jacobs doesn't feel good right now about the Raiders in the situation, drafting a running back and not picking up his fifth-year option. But defensively, they bring in Chandler Jones, a remake of the secondary. I also think that they could potentially win this division and take it from the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, Key said every damn name on the team. I wish he would leave me one. That's real, of course. I agree with Key.
I'm going to say it's real, and because I believe there's a chance we get the first division ever with four playoff teams from the same division.
You really think that's going to happen?
Also, the Chargers, Jay.
What do you mean? Justin Herbert, MVP. It's been marked down right
now.
Yeah,
Herbert's winning MVP. That's in the bag.
Yeah, that's what Max has stated yesterday.
All right, real or not real, the interim coach who takes over for the Chargers midseason makes – no, I'm just kidding. Todd Bowles, first season head coach at the Bucs. Tom Brady, maybe his final season in Tampa. Todd Bowles, real or not real, makes the playoffs, Keith.
It's real. It's a layup, man. I don't even need to go into it. You got 12 on the sidelines. It's wasted energy at this point. We need the minutes back.
Oh, why is this even a question, Evan?
Because they're all in there.
This should not be a question. Not any team that Tom Brady's on.
Not even a question? I saw Todd Bowles with the Jets. He never got to the playoffs. I think it's a question.
And who was your quarterback? Had no damn Tom Brady either.
He had Fitzmagic. What
the hell are you talking about?
Fitzmagic, baby.
It's real. Next.
Fitzmagic, baby.
Nathaniel Hackett. He's got his guy. He's got Russell Wilson. Uh-oh. Real or not real, the Broncos go to the playoffs with Nathaniel Hackett's first season. Key?
What you got, Key?
A very similar situation, not real, but it's a good situation. They'll be there in the end. They'll be fighting, scratching, and clawing. I don't think the win total will add up to enough to get out of that division. I think they got a better quarterback. They've certainly got some young receivers that we need to see from. We don't know much about them. The running game is there for them. The defense, to me, is a good defense, but I think a lot was put on it. A lot of yeast was put on because of Vic Fangio. People just made the defense better than what it truly was.
I'm going to sound like a casual fan, but I don't give a damn. I am rocking with Russell Wilson, Key.
Yeah.
I am saying this is real. Last year he was hurt. I understood how he played through injury. I think things are going to clean up. I think we will be talking about Russell Wilson as if he's one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL.
I will repeat, I believe there's a good chance, first time ever, four playoff teams from the same division. The Broncos obviously are in that division, real.
Doug Peterson, Jaguars, first season, real or not real, makes the playoffs, King.
You know, this is an interesting one because you don't really know, but I would say not. I think when you look at the division, The division is tricky because Tennessee had been the bully here the last couple of years in the division. Indianapolis went out and got Matt Ryan. We already talked about Houston and Houston Texans. Jacksonville is right there. But I just think that they run out of the time. They don't win quite enough games, but they're fighting.
Yeah, I'm going to say not real. I'm going to give Peterson and Lawrence a year to kind of get their feet up underneath them. I want to see that natural progress from Trevor Lawrence, but I think having a new coach, a new scheme coming in, it takes a minute to get acclimated.
I agree with Key, and I think the more I think about it, I think Trevor Lawrence might have a really good year, but they'll be fighting. They're not going to make the playoffs, so not real.
How about Dennis Allen, Saints? Key, you don't get to answer this one. We know your answer. It's real. You've biased. Jay, real or not real? Dennis Allen and the Saints make the playoffs in year one. Real or not real?
I'll say real. Knowing what that defense is, knowing what that offense could be, Jameis Winston, I want to see him continue to be better coming off that injury, but I will say real.
Real. Yeah, real.
That's all right, Key, we have a couple extra seconds. Mm-hmm. You got anything to add on the Saints?
Any insight on the Saints you can add?
I'm nepotism because they went out there and got a receiver from Ohio State.
Nepotism Johnson.
I'm nepotism. Yeah. Meaning that I'm going to pull for family, just like a lot of other people pull for things and do things with family.
That should be on your jersey for the 2-on-2. Nepotism Johnson.
Why not? Hey, yeah, right. Max, if I own the team.
No doubt.
My Neppy entire family too much like Nappy.
I can't let you
no
do that to yourself.
No doubt.
Neppy, Nappy.
How much
like
Tom Brady's
you.
Too much Tom Brady? That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Neppy.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.